The scripture reading that we just had in Matthew chapter 4 is a period in Jesus' life that we're very familiar with, the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness. The question I have for you this morning from that text is, have you ever noticed the passages in the Old Testament that Jesus is quoting? What book or books or passages in the Old Testament is Jesus quoting in Matthew chapter 4? Let's look at that as we talk a little bit this morning about the Christian's life and using the wilderness wandering as our example or text for that. In Matthew chapter 4, when Jesus is asked to turn stones into bread, he says, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. Where is that taken from? You might have a Bible that has marginal references, and you might notice that that is taken from Deuteronomy chapter 8. And then you come on down to Matthew chapter 4 and verse 7, when Jesus is tempted again. Jesus said, again it is written. Where is that taken from? Your Bible might say Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 16. Thou shalt not make trial of the Lord thy God. And then in the third temptation, Jesus said, again it is written, or for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only thou shalt serve. Where is that taken from? Did you notice that that's also taken from the book of Deuteronomy? All three passages of Scripture are taken from the book of Deuteronomy. Have you ever thought about that? Why is that? I don't believe that that's an accident. I don't believe that that's just coincidence. Jesus was not randomly quoting Bible passages. He's taking it from a book that deals with the very situation that he is in. Jesus is in the wilderness. And Jesus is being tempted to either obey God or disobey God. And the three passages of Scripture that he quotes from comes from a book that deals with God's people in a wilderness being tested and tempted whether they will obey God or not. And so this morning, I want us to consider the Christian's life from Israel's wilderness wandering experiences. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 8. We're going to take one of these quotations that Jesus makes. Man shall not live by bread alone, which is taken from Deuteronomy chapter 8. We're going to take that and we're going to expound upon that and look at the rest of the chapter this morning and see what the Christian life is all about. What is our life about this morning and this week? What is the Christian life all about? Jesus is living his life, and he's out in the wilderness, and he's being tempted of the devil. And what he does is he draws from one of these principles in Deuteronomy chapter 8. He says, okay, here is the devil tempting me. I have to live a certain way. I have to respond and act in a certain way. I'm going to go back and get a principle from the way Israel is supposed to act, and I'm going to act the same way. Well, when I look at that, I begin to think, okay, what other life principles are found in the same chapter? And that's what we want to do this morning. We want to look at these principles. Jesus said, I need to act in a certain way. How do I act in this situation? Man shall not live by bread alone. I have to also follow the Word of God. I can't be just simply thinking about the physical. I also need to follow what God says. That's a principle. Where do I get that? I get that from Deuteronomy chapter 8. Do you know that there's some other principles in that same chapter that I want us to consider this morning? Jesus is teaching us to go back to this chapter and learn what it means to be a child of God. When you turn back to Deuteronomy chapter 8, we're very familiar with the book of Deuteronomy, where Israel, they're on the plains of Moab, and we describe it as Moses preaching sermons to them. And in these sermons, some of these are reminders of the way that they were supposed to live in the sight of God as they wandered through the wilderness. As Moses says these things, he's laying down life principles. These are the ways that we're supposed to live. And Jesus recognized that for his own life, and I want us to recognize the same for ours. I find it interesting in Deuteronomy chapter 8, if you'll look with me at the very beginning and at the very end of the chapter. Come with me to the very beginning. Moses is saying that if you follow these principles that we're going to be looking at, you can live. That's why I've called these life principles. This is how you live in the sight of God. Number two, you can multiply. Number three, you can go in. And number four, you can possess. That's what we want. We want the Christian life. We want fruitfulness. We want progress. We want to possess everything that God has for us today. We have to follow these principles. The alternative is, turn with me to the very end of the chapter. The alternative is, if we don't follow these life principles, we will perish. Verse 19, "And it shall be, if thou shalt forget Jehovah thy God and walk after other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish. As the nations that Jehovah maketh to perish before you, so shall you perish, because you would not hearken unto the voice of Jehovah your God." And of course, the same would be true for us today. That we're going to perish if we don't follow and understand these principles. When Jesus was in the wilderness, he wanted to live a life that was pleasing to his Father. And three times from the same book, he goes back and says, this is a principle that was stated some 1,400 years ago, but it's still true today. And I'm going to live by and walk by that principle. Now we are 3,400 years away from these statements, but they're still true. And they are the principles upon which we live and base our life in order to be pleasing to God. Let's look at them this morning. Come with me to Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 1. The Christian life is a life of great care for God. In verse 1, Moses says, "All the commandment which I command thee this day shall you observe to do." The New American Standard says, "Be careful to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which Jehovah sware unto your fathers." Just like Jesus got a principle from verse 3, man does not live by bread alone, let's begin at the beginning of the chapter and work all the way through and notice some other principles that are there. And number one, we need to live by the principle of having great care to observe God's Word. Are you careful for anything? Are you careful for anything? Where you take your time, you slow down. At the end of the day, when I take my contacts out, I'm really careful. I don't want to tear them. I don't want to drop them. I'm really careful. Are you careful for anything? Where you take your time, you slow down, you observe it carefully? You know, the Christian life is a life of great care. Be careful to do, the New American Standard says. We need to be careful when we handle the Word of God. We need to rightly divide it. Or one version says, handle it accurately. When we were growing up, Dad from time to time would say, "Son, be careful. Be careful with what you're doing. Now be careful with that." Not everything is just sort of blundering through or just sort of tromping through.
you might have to slow down. You might ease up and be precise and be careful. Be careful with that, we say.
You know, the Christian life needs to be that way. When we pick up our Bible, we need to handle it carefully and not take anything out of context. Paul says to be careful to maintain good works in Titus 3 and verse 8.
When we get up each day, we need to take great care to do the Word of God. Am I careful in how I handle the Word of God? Am I careful to make sure that I'm busy in the Lord's kingdom, that I haven't become lazy and that I haven't become indifferent? There are good works out there that I need to be doing toward other brethren and toward those that are outside the body of Christ. And I want to be careful to maintain that. I don't want to let that slip.
Here is a life principle, and that is great care to serve the Word of God. We need to be careful to obey. In Matthew chapter 13 and verse 22, when Jesus talks about the parable of the sower,
he says that the seed falls on the thorny soil, and these thorns grow up and choke it, and choke out the Word of God.
And one of the things that Jesus says there, describing the thorny ground, is the cares of this world choke out the Word of God.
Some people are more careful for the things of this world than they are obedience to God's Word. Things about work and school and life and hobbies. Well, I'm really careful about that. Well, what about obedience to the Word of God? And so he says the cares of this world
keep that Word of God from growing in our life. We need to be careful about obedience, not the cares of this world. But the first thing that Moses says is that you be careful to do the Word of God. That's a life principle. Care. Come with me to verse 2. Moses says in verse 2, "And thou shalt remember all the way which Jehovah thy God hath led thee." You know what the Christian life is? The Christian life should be approached with great care. The Christian life should be a life where we realize that God is our guide. Moses, looking back over the wilderness wandering, makes it clear that Jehovah thy God hath led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. When we get up each day, we should view our life as that which is being led by God. It is not in man that walks to direct his own steps, Jeremiah 10:23. We're going to let God lead us today. We're going to let God lead us through His Word. We're not going to strike out on our own. It's not I think and I feel. It's not, well, what do my friends want? Or what have I read in society? Or what do the scholars say? But I'm going to let God guide me. It's a life of guidance under God's control. He's going to say later in verse 15 that He led you. That's a second life principle that we need to live by each day. That God is going to be our guide. I love some of these psalms where the psalmist talks about being guided by truth. Today it's all about guided by feelings. And feelings and emotions are certainly a part and partial of our life. We obviously have emotions and feelings, but they must be based upon the truth of the Word of God. Psalm 25 and verse 5. "Guide me in thy truth, and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. For thee do I wait all the day." Guide me in thy truth. We can never get away from that life principle. It's not like in the book of Judges, every man did that which was right in his own eyes. But I want to be guided by truth. And then turn with me, I love Psalm 73 and verse 24. Guided by the precepts of the Word of God. That is a life principle that we need to choose to live by. "Thou wilt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me into glory." What a beautiful verse.
I'm going to walk this life being guided by God's counsel, and in the end, He's going to receive me into heaven. What a great summary of our life and our goal.
But guide me by Thy counsel. You know, the Holy Spirit guided the apostles into all the truth. And we have that same truth today, John 16:13.
The apostles didn't stand up on the day of Pentecost and say, I think and I feel. When they were preaching in the book of Acts and they were revealing the Word of God, it was not I think or I feel, but it was the Holy Spirit guiding them. That is a life principle that is extremely important for us today.
Guided by the truth of God's Word. He led you through the wilderness. That's a principle that we need to live by even today. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 14, He said, leave them alone, talking about the scribes and Pharisees. They are the blind guiding the blind, or the blind leading the blind.
And that's what you have so much today in our society. When we want to go by this person or that person or this group or that voice, we hear this voice and we hear that voice. It's actually the blind, spiritually blind, leading us, the spiritually blind. And Jesus said, both shall fall into the pit. We need to open our eyes and not be guided by those who are spiritually blind. We need to be guided by the truth of God's Word.
And what a great life principle to just get up each day. I am going to be led by God's truth. And that is going to guide me all the way to heaven. In Revelation chapter 7 and verse 17, we have a picture of Jesus the Lamb who guides His followers all the way to heaven to be around the throne of God. That's where we want to end up. That's where we want this journey to end, is around God's throne in heaven. But we've got to let Jesus guide us all the way there. What a great life principle to understand. Turn back with me to Deuteronomy chapter 8. The Christian life is a life of humility. Humility will serve us greatly as we go through life. We were studying, Jeff had a great class this morning, we were studying when we got over into chapter 5 about the pride and the puffing up of the Corinthian brethren rather than being humble. Humility is so lacking today in so many places in the world. But when you come back to Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 2, He led you 40 years in the wilderness that He might humble thee, to prove thee, to know what was in thy heart, whether thou wouldest keep His commandments. The wilderness experience was a humbling experience to say, I have to rely upon God. We're talking about over 1 million people. Over 1 million people coming through a wilderness where you don't have a convenience store on every corner. You don't have a Kroger and a Walmart and a Publix. God is providing everything for you. He's guiding you. He's leading you. And that should be a humbling experience to know that I have to rely upon God. And that principle will serve us well today. Humility keeps us dependent upon God. Not self-reliant, not self-governing, but dependent upon an Almighty God. And it's required. Jesus recognized it, that in order to enter into the kingdom, we have to humble ourselves like a little child.
A little child is missing a lot of things in life. Beckett spent the night the other night with us. He's missing out on a lot of things that he's going to experience when he grows up. But you know what he's got right now? He's got humility. Those little children, where they recognize dependence upon you and they recognize the need for you.
We were bringing him back and we were riding in the car and he said, I love you, Paul. And I usually don't get emotional about that type of thing, but that's basically what's going on.
They're willing to say it. They're willing to follow it and believe it in dependence and love, that just comes from a humble heart. But when we get older, that gets kind of thrown out the door. We outgrow that. You see.
But Jesus said that we're to humble ourselves as a little child. And if we'll humble ourselves, we'll be exalted. And that exaltation will be not only in this life, but ultimately in heaven. But we have to live a humbled life. And the Israelites learned that through that experience. I need God for my water. I can't just go buy some bottled water at the next place we stop. I've got to have that water out of that rock. And I've got to have that manna from heaven. And I need God. You heard that expression, you get too big for your britches. Have we gotten too big for our britches? Some have. And it starts after we leave home. We get too big for our britches. We don't need God anymore. Got to be very careful about that. Verse 3, and He humbled thee and suffered thee or allowed thee to hunger and be fed with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that He might make thee to know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every thing that proceeds out of the mouth of Jehovah doth man live. That's the principle that Jesus gathered for Himself in order to live right in the face of the devil in Matthew chapter 4. And so that brings us to our next point, that the Christian life is a life of sustenance from God. Verse 3 says, He fed thee. Underscore that. He fed thee. He fed you. Again, shows up in verse 16 later in the chapter. Do you know what the Christian life is? It's a life of sustenance from God. We're not self-sufficient. We don't pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps approach to life where we don't need God. I don't need religion. I don't need the Bible. That's for emotionally insecure people. You know, they need those religious crutches, you know, in their life. I don't need that kind of thing. That's the approach that many people take in life. I'm not a weakling, and I don't need a crutch. No, we need God. And the text says He fed you. And you know that that's the very thing that Jesus brings up in John chapter 6 with regard to discipleship, that we need Jesus. We need to follow Him. We need to follow His Word. And just like God provided manna from heaven, physical bread from heaven, Jesus is our bread from heaven. John 6:35, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He that comes to me shall not hunger, and he that believes on me shall never thirst. God sent manna from heaven. Verse 31, our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, He gave them bread out of heaven to eat. Jesus therefore said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, it was not Moses that gave you the bread out of heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread out of heaven. For the bread of God, it's the bread of God. Verse 33. The bread of God is that which cometh down out of heaven and giveth life unto the world. Our spiritual sustenance comes from God, and it's through Jesus Christ, and we need Him. And even with regard to physical blessings, Paul said, my God may supply every need of yours. Not every want. There are a lot of things we want. But every need, Philippians 4:19, and God will sustain and provide those things, even in difficult times. It's a great life principle to realize that the Christian life is a life of sustenance from God. And God will not forsake us. He will supply every need. He will not forsake us. And in that context of Hebrews 13, 5 and 6, the Hebrew writer says, keep yourselves from covetousness. That's this idea of this greed for more physical things, like I've got to hoard it up because I've got to take care of myself. No, don't be covetous. God will provide for your needs.
He'll take care of you physically.
It's a life of sustenance. In Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 3, the verse that Jesus quotes, we learn that the Christian life is a life of dependence upon God. Man does not live by bread alone. The key word here is alone. We need bread, we need physical sustenance, but not alone. We also need God. There are a lot of young people that grow up and leave home and they, well, I don't need God anymore. I don't need church anymore. I don't need the Bible anymore. Man does not live by bread alone, but by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of Jehovah. And Jesus realized that. And so when the devil says, well, turn these stones into bread, Jesus says, I don't live by a principle of physical things alone. And Jesus was hungry, by the way. When Jesus refused that, it wasn't because he wasn't hungry. The text says he hungered. He refused that because there's a principle that we have to live by. And life is not about the physical only. It's also about a right relationship with God. And everybody out today chasing the almighty dollar, and everybody out focusing on the physical and food, shelter and clothing and money and cars and houses, and there's a place for those things, but they're chasing that alone, and they won't have spiritual things in their life. But we're learning that the Christian life is a life of also being dependent upon God. And there's more to life than the physical. And that's what Moses is saying here in Deuteronomy 8, and that's what Jesus was saying to the devil in Matthew 4. There's more to life than the physical. Yes, I'm hungry right now, but there's more to life than the physical. And so you're this morning, you are taking care of the spiritual side of your life. When we come together to assemble, to worship, you're taking care of the spiritual side. Parents have their children here this morning. They want their children to take care of the spiritual side of their life. Because there's more to life than the physical. Come with me to Deuteronomy chapter 8. The Christian life is also a life of being disciplined by God. If we continue down through the reading, we find in verse 4, thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. God sustains us. They didn't have shoe stores to stop in every few miles. Well, let's get some shoes. Let's pull in here and get some shoes. God took care of their shoes so that they didn't wear out. I had to get rid of a pair of dress shoes the other day. There was holes in the bottom of them. And I have resold my dress shoes before. I'm aware of how to do that. But they had really gotten past that, so I had to get rid of them. I've had those dress shoes probably, I don't know, maybe 6 to 8 years, something like that. And they're worn out. Can you imagine 40 years? 40 years. Mine wore out after about 6 to 8 years. In pretty good walking conditions. Can you imagine walking through a wilderness? But God sustains us. Verse 5, and thou shalt consider in thy heart that as a man chastens his son, so Jehovah thy God chastens thee. Let's look at another life principle from Deuteronomy 8, and that is that God is going to chasten us from time to time. That's a part of the journey. He could have easily led them in a way to Canaan land that didn't have any wars, that didn't have any problems, that didn't have any wilderness, and we can get through this pretty quickly and there's no challenges. But He chose a different way because He knows that that's what's best for us. So verse 5 is stating another life principle, and that is, it is a test. It is a chastening. Your version might say discipline. If you back up to verse 2, to prove you. Verse 5, to discipline you. From time to time we do go through those things that are testing. This past year, I believe, has been in many ways that. Discipline, testing Sometimes those things are hard. Sometimes those things are negative. But it's a way that God gets us to see if we're going to remain faithful to Him or not. And it's not something to be despised. Both in Job 5:17 and Proverbs 3:11, do not despise the chastening of the Lord. It's not something to be ignored or put down or despised. It is something that is very important in God's plan. And while at the time we may not want it or appreciate it or like it, it is best for us. When I was being disciplined by my parents, I didn't like it, but I appreciate it now looking back on it. I appreciate it. I'm so glad they didn't just let me go. There are two ways in the New Testament that we have this idea of discipline. One is through internal teaching. When we teach and those words go into our heart and our mind and we learn the right way to live. And so fathers are to discipline their children. They are to bring them up in the chastening, some versions say discipline, and admonition of the Lord. Through teaching and training in words and principles and ideas that we teach our children and our grandchildren, others around us. And so through teaching, we learn what is right and wrong. But it also comes through external hardships. If you turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12, the context there are Christians who are being persecuted. They have things that are taken away from them. They have suffering that they're going through, and it's called chastening or discipline. It is for chastening that you endure. God deals with you as with sons, verse 7. For what son is there whom his father chastens not? But if you are without chastening, whereof all have been made partakers, then you are bastards and not sons. We actually don't want to have this approach. Well, don't give me any chastening. That would make us a bastard and not a son. We want to be a son. We want to be someone in God's family, and our Father chastens us. Verse 11, all chastening seems for the present to be not joyous, and it's not, but grievous. It's hard. Yet afterward yields peaceable fruit unto them that have been exercised thereby. Now look at verse 12. As brethren and Christians are going through these difficult times, it would be good for us to help them. Wherefore, lift up the hands of them that hang down and the palsied knees. Help them out. If you know of a brother or sister that's going through discipline and chastening, help them lift their hands up and make straight paths for your feet. We might have to do some work ourselves. That which is lame be turned not out of the way, but rather be healed. The context is external hardships. But that's what God wants for us. That's what's best for us. So as we go through those things, understand that they make us stronger and better. In Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 6, and thou shalt keep the commandment of Jehovah thy God to walk in his ways and to fear him. Be careful, verse 1. Be careful to observe and obey. For Jehovah thy God brings thee into a good land, a land of brooks, of water, of fountains and springs flowing forth in valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive trees and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills thou mayest dig copper. The Christian life is a life of hope in God. He has a better place for us. They've had this wilderness experience, and Moses is telling them, in just a few short months now, we're going to cross over the Jordan River and you're going to be in a much better place. The Christian life, we need to live by this principle, and that is that we always need to keep our hope set on that better place. Of course, we know that to be heaven. Every good gift comes from God. He's going to give us only what is good in this life, and He has a much better life planned for us in the judgment day. Keep pressing forward. Keep looking on to that better place. And that's what Moses is saying. Live by the principle of having a hope that God is going to give you a better place. And he does. And he did for them in Canaan land. And he will for us. Hebrews chapter 4. There remains a Sabbath rest for us in heaven. And we have to keep our eyes focused on a good land. A good land. Keep our hope set in God. And it'll help us to get through those difficult times. The Hebrew writer talks about how that we have hope as an anchor of the soul. It's a better hope. It's a hope that is set before us of a good land, heaven. And let us have our hope set on going there. Let's have our minds set on things that are above. Look with me at verse 10. And thou shalt eat. When you get over into this good land, thou shalt eat and be full. And then thou shalt bless Jehovah thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. And then thou shalt bless Jehovah. You know what the Christian life is? The Christian life is a life of praise to God. We praise and thank God for the good that he gives us. That's why we're here this morning. Worship is one way that we praise God and thank him for the good that he gives us. You shall bless the Lord your God. I'm glad that we've been able to sing this morning. I'm glad that we've been able to partake of the Lord's Supper. We're going to talk about remembrance in just a minute. I'm glad that we're able to do these things because we're supposed to live by this principle that when God gives us good, we turn around and bless him for the good that he's given us. I think of the 10 lepers who were healed, but only one came back to say thank you. In Philippians 1 and verse 11, we can praise God by faithful living. You don't have to say the words. You can. You can say the words, praise the Lord, praise God. That would be great. You don't have to. You could praise God by just faithful living. Philippians 1 verse 11. And we can praise God with the fruit of our lips, what we call worship in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15. And what a great thing that we have. And I hope and pray that we will continue to have the freedom to worship God in this nation. I know around the world for some brethren it's more challenging. I hope that we continue to have the liberty and the freedom to bless Jehovah for the good that he has given us. Come with me to verse 11. The Christian life is a life of remembrance toward God. Beware lest thou forget Jehovah thy God in not keeping his commandments and his ordinances and his statutes, which I command thee this day, lest when thou hast eaten and art full and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thy heart be lifted up, and thou forget Jehovah thy God, who brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, who led thee through the great and terrible wilderness. We already talked about that, his guidance. Wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions, and thirsty ground where was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, Exodus 17, Numbers 20, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, Exodus 16, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee and that he might prove thee. We talked about those principles already. To do thee good at thy latter end, lest thou say in thy heart, my power and the might of my hand hath gotten me this wealth. Don't forget. And then verse 18, but thou shalt remember Jehovah. There's another life principle that we need to live by, and that is that every day we get up, we always remember God. Because what's going to happen is, when you become a Christian, there are going to be things that are going really well in your life. He talks about you're going to have land and houses and possessions and money. Oh, all of a sudden, we forget God who brought us out of Egypt. And so we come up out of the waters of baptism and things are going well for us. We've got school and we're making good grades and we got a good job. We're working now and I just got married and
got a child on the way, and I've got hobbies, and I've got money to go buy things for my hobbies, and I'm doing those things, and family, and all of a sudden, I'm not back at that church building where that baptistry was. I've forgotten God. So we have to live by the life principle always to remember God. And by remembering, Moses here is not just simply talking about some mental ascent. If you turn over to Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 32, God says, "My people have forgotten me days without number." My people have forgotten me. Did the Israelites literally forget God? They became atheists and they didn't know that there was a God. No, they remembered God, but they wouldn't worship Him right. They wouldn't obey Him. They wouldn't follow His law.
It's not that you literally don't have a remembrance of God. It's you don't want to serve Him anymore because of prosperity and possessions. And prosperity can often lead to pride and to forgetting. And Moses brings up those two points. Pride and forgetting. So let's live by the life principle to always remember God each day and serve Him. Remember to pray and read His Word on a daily basis. Remember to regularly worship and never forsake the assembling of ourselves, as is the custom of some. Remember, as we've done this morning, to generously give, 2 Corinthians 9. Sometimes when we get affluent and we get prosperous and we get more money, we're spending our money on our things and ourselves, and we don't remember to give on the first day of the week. Let's remember to obey. We studied this morning in 1 Corinthians 4:17 that Paul taught some things everywhere in every church. And those are the things that we're supposed to be doing. And of course, remember the Lord's death on the cross and the Lord's Supper and a host of other things. But let's never forget our God in our days of prosperity. And then last of all, one last life principle, and that is that the Christian life is a life of empowerment by God. We cannot do it without Him. Verse 18, "But thou shalt remember Jehovah thy God, for it is He that giveth thee power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant, which He sware unto thy fathers as at this day." It is He that gives you power. We are empowered by God. We are empowered by God to get our physical blessings. He gives us our minds and our bodies, and He gives us the ability to get an education and get a job and those types of things. He gives us all of that. He provides our food, shelter, and clothing. And He also gives us the power in the inward man through the Word of Christ. That inward man, that power to strengthen us in our inward man. Ephesians 3:16. Power to overcome temptations and struggles and trials and things of that nature. Paul made it through his thorn in the flesh in 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 9 because of the power of Christ that rested upon him. And we have the power of God's Word, the power of the Gospel that can save lost souls. And we have the power of God to guard us through our faith. And we need that. The Christian life is a life of empowerment if we will let that power work in us. Well, we're going to stand in just a moment and sing a song of encouragement. That's the Christian life. Jesus went back and got a principle out of Deuteronomy 8 and said, "I've got to live by this principle. Let's take that principle and these other principles that are there and let's go out and lead the faithful Christian life." That's the principle that we're to be living by. And if we do that, then as Moses says, you will have life, you will multiply, you will go in, you will possess. And that's what we want for our souls. We want that spiritual life. We want to go into heaven. We want to possess heaven. And we can by living these life principles. Maybe you need to begin this morning in your great care for your service to God. Maybe there's one more thing you need to do to finish that off. To be careful about, I need to be baptized this morning. We would encourage you to come and do that as a child of God. If you need to come back in some way, do that. Let's have great care in living just the way God wants us to live. And if we can help you to do that, why won't you come as we stand and as we sing?